What do I do?
Last time.
He's like, all right, 5, 4.
Seriously?
Oh, there he is.
Oh, I'm on stage. Oh, God. Oh, God.
This is unbelievable.
I'm on stage.
This is crazy. All
right.
I'm on stage.
Little difficulties, folks, behind backstage here.
All right, so what's this live thing on YouTube?
Hey, what is up, everyone?
Oh, what's up?
We made it.
There's no one here because of the mess up.
That's true. So let's just figure it out. What's up, guys?
We're in front of a crowd of thousands. Thousands.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. So many people are here.
The arena. Everyone's here. Look at
this. Someone will rewatch this. Surely.
Someone. No, thank you to people. The
soul. Soul.
The singular soul that you are. Thank you for watching.
Oh, man. Actually, there is one. Oh, that's me. Never mind.
Are you not entertained?
Well, for all of you who will watch, it's Tom and Scott with Bad Cuz Dad. We got another Bad Cuz Dad podcast today. And as you can see, we have some special guests in the house. Yeah. We have the man with the golden voice, a.k.a. James the Giant, a.k.a. the Governator. James.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I hear it. What's going on, James?
It needed to be repeated. Hey,
I had it. So this true. Is where I have to watch chat for all the people watching.
James, man, welcome back, dude. I'm glad to have you back. How you doing?
I thought you were going to be talking about Coltrane with the golden voice. That guy's voice.
No, man. No.
Coltrane is the other man with the golden voice.
Yeah. I mean, he even has the name. I think we should swap names and then it'll probably look more accurate. You're gonna have him be James and I'll be, hey, what's up? This is Coltrane, baby.
Yes, Coltrane. Oh, man.
It is powerful.
Man. James got an amazing voice, man. This is gonna be awesome. We're gonna have this like battle of the deep voices. It's gonna be awesome. Yeah. It's gonna be great.
How does that
James,
feel,
James, I did watch, I don't know why, I'd never seen the New Balance commercial before. Dude, that is like amazing. I love it. So
what, the one I made or what?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, yeah. That's my motivational, like, aggressive, like, get off your butt and go work out voice.
Yeah.
Well, so I just watched more YouTube videos after I watched it, but
you know where that voice came from is I used to do this gig for this guy that did all this motivational workout videos, and he'd have me do like 2 or 3 videos a month, and all the videos were like talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger or like Lee Haney. They'd be like, Lee Haney, this man is the best in the business, and I had to like get always like hyped up everything and like look at the striations, look at his body. Do you want to quit? Don't quit, and like sit there and start yelling. I'm like, oh, let me do this with New Balance, and you know,
it's awesome.
That's
great.
It was an
video.
Awesome vid, man.
It was great.
But
yeah. Really great.
James, welcome back, man. Thanks for joining us.
Glad to be back.
And the other man with the other golden voice, he
Scott.
Is known. Yes,
Scott. Yes. Yeah.
Well, they know it's not me.
Hey,
so.
Fans.
No, but Coltrane, of course, from the critically acclaimed Wrestling is for Losers podcast.
Yes, right.
Joining
the audience
us again.
Yes, thank you very much. No, it's great to be back. This time, hopefully, I have the right microphone selected, and I don't like I'm broadcasting from the surface of the sun. I actually like turned down the lights this time, and it actually hopefully looks better. So I tried to fix the setup from last time. But it's great to be back, man. I'm really excited and really, really jazzed to be talking MMOs.
Yeah. That's right. Coltrane, you got a fan in the chat. There it is.
Chasing Horizons.
Oh.
The man who carries us through Remnant.
Yes. Yes.
That's right.
That's our Remnant, actually, buddy.
Doesn't the turret carry you through Remnant? I forget. We'll get
into
that.
Let's be honest. Let's be honest. It's the turret. It's the turret.
And Scott, man, what's up with you, dude? We'll just start with you, man. What have you been playing this week? And we'll go in depth, man. I know you've been playing a little something, so what have you been up to?
Well, I haven't played anything in a long while. You know this. And I picked up the sequel to Remnant from the Ashes. Remnant 2. And I've been having a lot of fun, way more than I've had in a long time with gaming. There's been a lull for a while, even with Diablo, just didn't get me. So, I've been playing a lot of Remnant. It's a fantastic sequel, and it's just a great game overall, just a good experience in every way.
Yeah. In fact, we got to hop in together. I think it was last week. And that was unbelievable. Like, what's great about the game is it's a phenomenal solo experience, which is great, but also a group experience just adds that extra layer of just amazing. Yeah. And so many moments, like you're laughing, you're screaming, you're getting scared, you know, and it's like that, you know, those moments where it's down to one of us is alive and we finally kill the boss, you know, at the very end and everyone cheers. It's that adrenaline rush, you know?
It's just a good experience. Like the couch co-op feel, like I haven't been this excited about a multiplayer game in like a giddy way since what? GoldenEye, anything like that that gives you those old school giddy feeling. No, I'm talking about
proximity mines only. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Okay. It's that same like nostalgic, like couch co-op feel that really gets me. Yeah.
Well, I guess I'll talk to you and Coltrane about this since you're both playing. Like, what is it specifically though about Remnant? Like, is it the combat? So like, you know, I played Destiny. Like, is the combat that much better than Destiny? Is that what drew you in? Or is there something else that was like, this is unique? This is something that's really cool that I don't want to pass up on.
I'll start, Coltrane, because I think mine isn't just any one it's a lot of variables. But I would say the primary one is that it is extremely accessible as somebody who doesn't play that much. You can grind it if you want, or you can go casual and just have a good time. There's no huge gap in power that makes you feel like really weak at the beginning and then progressing to this monster. There, it's more about building the kit that you have and taking on tougher difficulties because you always feel pretty strong. So it's really just a great balance of all the things that I like in multiple games thrown into one. And yeah, like I said, the couch co-op feeling is the best part.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of got that drop in, drop out kind of gameplay. And I know we're going to be talking a lot about MMOs and the various, you know, things as far as like leveling up and like or right from the gate you feel powerful, you feel awesome. And in this one, right out of the gate, you're slaying monsters. You're not killing rats, you know, doing two damage. You know what I mean? Like most MMOs, you know what I mean? Or at least some of the old school MMOs. So it's got that great it's easy to pick up, but also difficult to master. There's a lot of depth to it, a lot of customization, which makes it like super fun. And it's just like I said, you know, couch co-op, absolutely. And even the solo experience. And what I like about it too is if you want to get some progress, something done, you can pop in, run a couple of dungeons in these like, you know, epic, you know, created worlds, and then pop out. You feel like you got something done, you know, after your long, hard day at work. You want to get in, get some progress, and then get out. You know, it's a different type of game. And it's something that I will admit, as I've gotten older, working longer hours, you know, working this stuff, I find that to be much more appealing than some of the old school MMOs where it takes 30 to 40 minutes just to get to your destination to then try and make progress, you know? So it's great for that drop in, drop out.
Classic.
Yes, exactly.
Well, James, have you actually seen Remnant? I know you were like going hard on Diablo, I'm pretty sure still. Have you checked it out much or not really?
I still haven't even seen Remnant.
Okay.
I've been playing Diablo and working. And playing Diablo and then working. And then wanting to play Diablo and realizing that my class is broken and then working. And then managing like my pool. And that's all I'm doing is just cleaning my pool and putting in chemicals. And I feel pretty lame, like a complete dad now.
That's awesome.
Well, to be fair,
you're in the right place, sir.
Yeah, for sure. The first Remnant kind of flew under the radar, though, right? So I didn't even know what Remnant 2 was until Scott told me about it. So it doesn't surprise me. But I mean, Scott and Coltrane, is it like the best looter shooter right now? Like, if you thought of, Destiny's kind of an MMO looter shooter, so I don't know if it's exactly the same, but I'm thinking of games like Outriders, maybe.
What about like Division?
Yeah.
Like, is it that type?
Is this like the best? Is this like cream of the crop right now? Or is it just, it's just new, so it's like I want to play what's new, kind of what's hot, kind of a thing.
What do you think, Scott?
I think it does every element of all those games that you just gave a shout out to, like Outriders and The Division, it takes every element from there and makes it simple and straight to the point, and there's no just unnecessary complexity. It just feels straightforward, and it's not nearly as grindy as something like Destiny or The Division. You can move up with one small ring a night, like whatever. It's because the gameplay mechanics and the combat is just good on its own. The foundation's strong, so everything else on the game is just extra.
So it's the best. What about you, Coltrane? You think it's that good?
Well, I would only say it's different than The Division, because Division is so much more cover-based, you know, more tactical. Right. Although in this one, you get up in the higher difficulties, you can't exactly just run in there. You know, you have to be a lot more tactical with it, because you're going to get blown up in about 3 seconds. But what's neat about it is there's builds. You can find these builds. There's these builds that are online, and like, you need this ring and you need this, and then combo with this ring and this amulet and this weapon and this mod. And you start to build your character. And I'm finding these rings, these mods. I'm like, oh, wait, that's part of this ring where it puts your health to 50%. But then you combine that with an amulet that when your health is below 100%, you do like 30% increased damage. So automatically you've got constant 30% increased damage. Then you put this regen on there that just regens it super fast because you're only on half health. And that's from another ring. So it's really interesting that you can build all these different builds throughout. Plus, you can switch all the characters. You can start out as a tank type and then
it's fairly easy to do. Like, to just swap out. Like, it's straightforward.
Yeah, it really is. It's very easy to get into, you know?
Well, I only watched you guys that one night, or I've watched Scott a couple nights on stream, and there were some things that stood out to me that I was like, these are super cool systems. The first one that stood out, which I think probably is the biggest strength to me as someone just looking at it from the outside, is the ability almost to, I don't know if you want to call it multi-class, but you're an engineer, but you can add aspects of another class to your kit, right? Is that kind of how it works, Scott? I don't know.
And you can swap them at will too. So each class has a prime perk. So if it's your main class, you get this one perk that you won't have access to if it's not your main class. But you can swap out the main classes. So if you want to play with a different prime perk, you can. And then you just mold it well with whatever subclass, or they call it dual archetype.
Yeah.
So you get the abilities of that minus the prime perk. So it's essentially like rolling two classes into one.
That's cool. That would be like the equivalent on Destiny, James, right, of being like an Arc Titan with a dodge that gives you invisibility or something like that would be insanely fun kind of a thing. The other thing I looked at was the weapon mods that can really change the way your weapon works, which I thought looked awesome too. So
And there's one thing I got to mention that I think as far as the control scheme goes that I've never seen in another game, but this makes so much sense. If you're in a shooter, right? Like Division or whatever, and then you want to use your melee weapon. In the past, you had to select your hotkey for your melee weapon and then strike. But in this one, you press your right mouse button, which brings up your target, right? So then you can shoot like you always do. And then to use your melee weapon, you just clicked your left mouse button. Just your regular like attack button, and you automatically swing your melee weapon. I know this sounds super simple and super crazy, but it seems so intuitive. Like, why hasn't anyone thought of this? This is so much easier, like from a gameplay standpoint.
It's smooth. So, like it fits the game mechanics really well.
Yeah. You don't it's very smooth. Exactly. Yeah. So I would say it's probably the best or one of the best out there right now. And this completely flew under my radar. But every single review I see is positive for Remnant 2.
Well,
I have yet to see a negative one.
It's a breath of fresh air because I feel like nowadays we don't get games that feel complete and polished.
Yeah.
So number one, it's just a breath of fresh air there. When you compare it to a game like Destiny, while Destiny's awesome and I would play it if I had more time, like it just requires too much time to do what I want to do there. So this fills that gap that I have for that desire game. So it does everything good. It's not like this game-changing, over-the-top, just visual masterpiece. It's just good at what it does, and that's the best part.
Phenomenal game.
It sounds almost like the Diablo of the looter shooter with the way you can make builds. So why don't we just get into Diablo, James? I'll ask you, why Diablo instead of something else right now? What is pulling you into Diablo that's so good? And because I know you're a big Destiny guy, and you're on that Destiny grind for a long time, and I kind of jumped back into it because I saw you playing a lot, and it was a lot of fun for a while. But why the switch to Diablo? Is it the nostalgia? I don't know, the build craft? What is it?
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to just with Diablo 2 when I was 16 at the time. And you're just sitting there playing till 4 or 5 in the morning and trying to get to that next level. You get that one unique that makes you want to start over your new character. You're like, I got the unique for this freaking class. I'm going to start over level 1 so I can get 85 and I can play this, so you can get this build. That's so all this theory crap. And then, you have Diablo 3, obviously. And Diablo 3 was so crap in the beginning, besides the auction house, you can make money, there's some potential there, but the uniques felt terrible, the grind was terrible, just it wasn't the Diablo 2 feel. So when Path of Exile came out and other games like Wolcen, you're like, all right, these can kind of tide me over until Diablo started doing their seasons and their expansion. Then it really got to that Diablo 2 feel again. And then Diablo 3 was so polished at the end that now we're playing Diablo 4, and it's like we're almost taking a step back now again, to where they're missing some of the things that made Diablo 3 incredible, which is the social aspect. You can jump in, you have this random group chat you can get into, I want to be on season power leveling chat, I want to be on greater rifting chat, and then you have access to all these other people that are doing the same grind or the same kind of type of thing that you're doing. And so Diablo 4 is kind of missing that. But then the graphics are incredible. They had a much better launch than Diablo 3, but they're just not where they want to be yet, I think. And so I'm really enjoying the game, but I can't wait for it to hit its stride like Diablo 3 did. And that's really what I'm waiting for now. And I'm playing the hardest class, which is Bar, but I'm trying to do Thorns because I don't want to sit there and do spin to win. So I'm having a rough time this time, making people hit me. I don't know. Right. It's just please hit me so I can damage you. But I'm still enjoying it. I still haven't hit my stride because I've only really done Barb. And the whole thing about seasons is kind of obliterating every single class and just find how high you can go with every single class. And I just haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah. Nice. Well, before we do get on to some more Diablo, shout out Brutal Static in the chat. Coltrane's
it's brutal. Right there, hey, buddy. Yeah.
Oh my God, it's Coltrane.
Everyone in chat, of course.
No, Brutal, many, many years. Many, many years. Great guy. Twitch.tv/BrutalStatic.
There you go. So, James, I saw you put out a build on your channel. Are you going to be doing some more Diablo stuff? Are you,
That's working what I want to get back things? Into. Yeah, I want to continue. Before I started my career 10 years ago, I was actually going to be a Twitch streamer, and I had a following, I had everything that I ever would have needed, but then I had I got a real job.
Real boy.
And got benefits and everything. Sure. And kids, they don't change anything. And so that was my goal. So whenever I get time to stream or do something, it's just more of all right, I want to have fun. I want to make this video and have some fun with it and be kind of, carefree. And it's just a little sporadic, not as often as I'd like because, real jobs and stuff. So my plan is to do more, though.
Mm. So have you played any other classes right now? Or are you just on the Barbarian? What's it look like in game?
I've done the Sorcerer and did a Hydra build. I like all the obscure builds that no one plays. And so right. And I want meta. Them to be valid. I'm like, please off be meta. Valid. Just make these Hydras kill things. That's why is it so hard to have that? So I haven't done it in season yet, but on the off season, I had a Hydra build. And it's fun, but it's just not viable yet. And I like the stuff where you can really theorycraft. I'm like, I want to build this way because this is how I want to play. And I love when games will cater to that instead of saying, you have these three classes, you have these two builds, so technically you have 12 things you can do. Or like more of, I want to just make a sorcerer that does one little shock thing and it kills everything on the screen because that's how I want to play. So it's just I want more of that.
I'm actually curious too, James, like when Diablo 4 first launched, you know, everybody, it got huge praise. I mean, everybody loved it. You know, it was just huge, right? The launch actually went pretty smooth. It actually went great. Everybody was in love with the game. They've done it. This feels like Diablo 2. It's dark. And by the way, it is dark. Like, it's pretty hardcore.
Oh my gosh, that
and
church
right
thing,
out of the gate,
not gonna ruin it, but.
Yes, right. Right out of the gate, you're like, okay, like I know what I'm in for here. All right, message received. This is not, you know, Diablo 3 where people are like, it's too light and too friendly and happy. Like, this is dark. So, but here's the thing. This is what I want to know. This is what I'm curious about. Diablo 4 launches. Everybody loses their mind. It's fantastic, right? But now, everyone, the community seems to have turned against Diablo 4. For some reason, there's a lot more negative press with it. And then every time I see content creators talk about it, they just say, oh, it sucks. It sucks. But why? Why? What happened? Why was it so praised on this throne? And now people are like, ah, Diablo 4. And, you know, did something, what happened in your opinion?
I think what has happened, and this happens with every Blizzard game that I've seen. And so, you know, they make a game and they make it about the end game and they make the journey longer than the actual end game. So you're trying to get to end game and that's all people care about. Like in Diablo, all you want to do is hit max level and start doing the end content. Same thing with WoW. Same thing with any game that Blizzard makes is I want to get to the end game so I can start enjoying the game. After you do the campaign, which is incredible, you finish it and you're like, all right, cool. Now let's hit max level and then let's start actually playing the game. You can't trade in the game yet besides yellow items. So you can't, there's not that shared experience. And I think that's what they're missing is the shared experience with other players. Like I want to be able to power level my friends because the game's no longer about leveling up. It's about getting to max level and getting the best items to min max. And so I think that's where they're missing it is they're missing that min max sharing with your friends, getting in, getting out and like, all right, I had a good run. I had like four uniques. I got this next best piece for my build. I'm going to go power level my buddy and we can power level them in 10 minutes and get them to max level. And now we're all in the same playing field, but you have players that are level 100 that takes hours upon hours to get there. And they can't really play with people that are level 70. They can't share items. And then they also can't like, they're not sharing the experience anymore.
Interesting.
Remember what I talked about in our podcast with you the first time, Coltrane, I said, games these days are just, games these days are more about the destination instead of the journey and the lack of community tied in with that. And then monetization, like, we're all conditioned now to just get here, min max, get through it. And then most of us are just mad because we don't realize that we've just run out of stuff to go on the hamster wheel for, and we didn't really enjoy it while it was going on. So,
well, and it's a funny thing. Every time I see content creators talk about these games, they're like, I hate leveling. I just hate leveling. I'm just in a rush. And James, you even said it. You know, I'm just in a rush to get to max level, and then I can start playing the game. Versus the journey is the game. And what's interesting, too, about because these developers put so much time into the leveling experience that everyone is rushing through.
That's why Remnant is fun, because it does it well. You don't you really do enjoy the journey.
Well, it's one and the same, right? While you're doing all your stuff, it's the end game and the building up process at the same time, right? Kind of. So aren't seasons in Diablo kind of sort of meant to fix that problem, to give you a new jumping off point? Or is seasons not really alleviating the issues that you're seeing?
So I think, like I said, the main issue that they're running into, and I mean the journey, playing with, you know, three or four of your friends and going through the campaign was incredible. So like if you're playing with people, you're all watching the video, they did that part well. But now it's like, okay, now we've beat the campaign, we're at this point to where we know seasons are going to start in a month. So do we hit max level or do we wait for seasons to come out and then we start all over again? And you know, what's that experience going to be like? So most people already beat the campaign and now we're all in this holding pattern for the seasons. So season starts finally, and then after the season starts, it's like, okay, it's very hard to hit the max level, but the whole thing of season is just to get to the max level and then start min-maxing and going from there. Because the journey was that campaign that everyone kind of shared together. And now they're trying to find that social experience after that. And I think that's where they're falling short. So hopefully they start getting that soon.
So if you want to play alt characters, is it more beneficial to do that within the season or to just start a new character in the base campaign?
They did this well.
Okay.
The whole renown farm thing, if you do it right, all of your characters are going to have all that renown, which is great. So you can actually start off with like a little, the Paragon points. You can start off with your skills a little bit better going off. You don't have to do the same stuff as the other characters. You can just go right into leveling and you already have this kind of little boost.
Nice.
But yeah, you still have to start over and still take the same amount of time. And this is the thing that's always kind of killed it for games with me, is once you've done the experience once, I feel like that second time should be a little bit more enhanced experience. Like, all right, I love I have 14 characters in WoW. Why do I have to sit there and level every single one and it takes the same exact time? Like, I think I should be rewarded for, I've already done the experience, I've went through this type of thing. So same thing in Diablo. Like, I think there should be an enhanced experience of, you've leveled one character, now this next character is going to get a 10% boost or 20%, and then the next character after that is going to get another one because you've done the game. Now let's let you experience it, the, like, more that you've, you know, completed it.
And Scott and Coltrane, have you jumped into the seasons, or is like Remnant just kind of, because I know you guys both played at, did y'all play at launch, right, for Diablo?
I played Diablo 4 like crazy at launch, and then for some reason I fell off. And I don't know why. I can't put my finger on it. I just stopped playing. And I don't know what it was. Maybe it's because I played a druid to start. You know what I mean? And it was going slow, you know, the old tornado build doing four damage or six damage, whatever the meme was, you know, at the time.
But yeah, but I just stopped. Cool.
Right. It does look cool. I mean, come on. It looks amazing. Not in town. I mean, But I just stopped playing Diablo. And obviously this feedback has affected Blizzard, because now Blizzard is hiring new people. They're like, on their website, they're looking for new dungeon people, new season stuff. Like, so they're making a lot of changes and adjustments here, I'm assuming based on the feedback, you know? So
Look at that. That's
some for us.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Hey, you want some grapes?
That's awesome. We're live.
I mean,
we're live. Get out of here.
Hey, bad cause dad, it happens.
Bad cause dad. This is to be expected. If you're watching, you know what you're getting into.
My wife is guarding the door. We would probably have kids in here right now. So.
Bye, kids.
See ya.
No, get out of here.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, you want the grapes back? They just came in to interrupt the live. That's it.
Right.
You know, there
for the
done.
Grapes.
Oh, my gosh. They didn't even want to bring me grapes. He's just like, this is my excuse.
Oh, my God.
That's awesome.
Oh, let me lock this door 1 second. There we go. We're locked now. For not locking the door.
What about the elephant in the room? Didn't Path of Exile just have some huge announcement?
Whoa. Lois, that is not my bandmate class.
Whoa.
Are y'all into Path? Path of Exile? POE or no?
Long
Diablo
time,
like all the way.
Yeah, that was my one to Path of Exile was the one to like hold off until Diablo made the next game or Diablo 3 got to where it was at. Like for me, that's how it was. And I was looking for that next, you know, any type of ARPG, like I said, Wolcen. What was the other one? Last Epoch. That was actually pretty good. And because they just came out with multiplayer in Last Epoch, and I actually liked that a lot. But yeah, I was just waiting for Diablo 4 to get here.
Yeah. My experience with Path of Exile, the first time I logged in, was, wow, all right, I'm on the beach. These are really nice graphics. All right, this looks good. All right, this is cool. I go to the first village. All right, fantastic. All right, now I open up the talent trees. Holy crap!
Exactly.
It's like my whole screen.
After that,
I was like, what is this? I was just floored. What is going on? Like, I just kept scrolling. It just kept going with more abilities, you know? Like, it was unbelievable. And then Path of Exile 2. It looks even more insane, you know, but you know, I don't know, but I'm saying, so it was, I got to admit, I got scared. All right. I screamed. I literally screamed and I ran out of the room. It was unbelievable. But I mean, the game was great and I really did enjoy it, but I got to tell you, I mean, day one, I'm playing this and the first thing I do is I start looking up builds because what do? I have 50,000 different choices. And, you know, I don't know, for me, like maybe like a hardcore person, you know, this is great. They want to dive in. But for me, I'm like, what is going on? I couldn't believe what I was looking at. But you had the same experience, Scott.
Yeah, I looked at it and I just immediately got tired and I was like, no.
I fell asleep as soon as he opened it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Maybe I'm just old and I just don't have the brain capacity for that anymore.
It's like that scene with Charlie massive. Day looking to all the stuff. Like,
yes,
see exactly. Over here.
Yeah. Exactly. I will take my 6 abilities. Thank you very much. Well, how Diablo used to be before the skill tree. Yeah. You know, that was simple enough. But no, something like Pat or PoE or whatever is just, that's a little too much.
Maybe PoE 2 will be more, helpful on the introduction. You know what I mean? Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. And I know we're kind of skirting around the topic a little bit and we're going to a little longer because I want to get into what you're playing, Coltrane. But so, James, just real quick, why are you doing Diablo instead of like an MMO? I know you're on WoW Dragonflight for a while. I'd see you in Discord on that. So what made you put that down? Is it just I got to get into Diablo because it's new, check it out? Or did Dragonflight kind of run its course for you?
I'll do my answer as Arnold, you can only do so many reps. You have one rep, you want to do a rep several times, and of course, Dragonflight, I was at the maximum, I was pushing everything, it was super fantastic. And of course, what happened? My 3-month rep was done. It was gone. So after 3 months, you get to Diablo, and guess what? After 3 months, what I'm going to be doing? The next game, because Blizzard is a 3-month game. And so every single time, this was going to happen. No, so that's what always happens with I find with Blizzard games. There's like a 3-month.
It's amazing, by the way.
Was that too smooth?
Yeah. That is amazing.
I closed my eyes. I was like, who's in the podcast?
Wow.
Yeah, so.
All right, so after the show, you're going to read me a bedtime story. Like.
Hickory dickory talk. Yeah, so what always happens, I find with like Blizzard games, is like they have this 3-month amazing window when they draw you back in 3 months. It's like you're in this new relationship. Everything's fresh. You get the butterflies and everything. Everything's going just super fantastic. And then you're like, this is my life. All right. We were here. It's 500 days of summer. We're at the 7-year itch. You can call it what you want, but there's that stale moment where it's like, okay, I've done everything, but the next tier is getting into that zone where the people that have truly no life live. And so it's like right when you hit that cusp of like, I've done everything, I'm at the max level, the next step is raiding the rest of my life. Or the next step is I need this one piece of gear so I can get to the next level. And so I feel like that's where Blizzard kind of gets done. It's like, they play themselves off as if we're a really easy company. You can jump in, jump out. And then it's like, but if you want to do hardcore, you have to sacrifice this easy time and go straight to hardcore versus other games are like, we're hardcore, deal with it. And you're like, all right, I signed up for that. And there's this huge payoff instead of just time to get the item that you're going to get regardless if you just, put time in. So,
and you're playing solo, disconnect. Right? You're playing kind of solo?
Yeah. I have no friends.
Well, speaking of ahead of the curve himself.
Right. Yes.
Speaking of no lifers here.
Yes.
No, I'm just kidding.
Ahead of the curve is not what it used to be. It's not like a big deal. Like in Dragonflight.
It's kind of a big deal.
The raid's a little bit tuned down, so it's like 7-8 bosses. It's not as big like, oh my gosh, you got AOTC, fantastic, It's a little bit easier to get. But I'm actually curious, James, because you brought up a great point. And you'd mentioned that this was a Blizzard problem, that about 3 months into a game, right? Now, my question for all of you, is that a Blizzard problem or is that a gamer problem nowadays? Meaning, does this happen in every game? Every game that comes out after about 3 months, it's fresh at the beginning, feels great, this is new, this is awesome. Right now, Baldur's Gate 3 just came out, right? And it's huge numbers on Steam. Everything's amazing, right? But what happens in 3 months? New World came out. Insane numbers on Steam. And, well, they had some other launch issues. There were a few problems there. But after 3 months, completely dropped off. Lost Ark, huge numbers, completely dropped off after 3 months. I mean, maybe Lost Ark kept its legs for a bit, but that also could have been some bots. But anyway. So I'm just wondering for you guys, too, is that a gaming issue? Do you guys lose interest after about 3 months, or is that specific a Blizzard thing? What do you guys think?
Maybe it's more of like, is it a live service game issue? Like where you have to constantly churn and burn the content. You know what I mean? Kind of right. a thing. So I don't know. Like for me, I like to live in a game. So if I find a game I like, I'll stay there forever. So yeah. I don't know if that's the case. I don't know. Maybe I'm the wrong one to ask. What do you guys think? Because I will play a game forever if it's good, but I don't know. Yeah, James, Scott, what do you guys think?
I mean, we took a deep dive into this last time. I think it's a gamer problem with this rapid dopamine fixes and
yeah,
just becoming accustomed to the grind and instead of just enjoying it. So consequently, the developers just put out a machine of just trying to churn games out and just suck up as much cash as they can. And the problem with that is the quality of the gaming experience and the game itself just often tanks with it. And so you're just back and forth with this push and pull of give me more. And
right.
They oblige and it's just more garbage. So you continue, you just burn out essentially, and then you try to find that fix elsewhere. So it's, I think it's primarily a gamer issue, but they're definitely push and pulling with each other.
Can I go the other way? No. Is it really an issue though? Like, isn't there so many good games that
it's we're going like to reach a point where we burn
to
out
to experience
completely.
All the good stuff out there? Like maybe 3 months is just the sweet spot to where there's always something right around the corner that seems interesting. Maybe. I don't
well,
know.
Well, Diablo 4 just hit, I think, 3 months. Yeah. Right?
June 6th. Yeah. Not even.
Something like that. So we're at that 3 month mark there. Now that is Blizzard. But I got to tell you, just a side note, no one ever says this. Can you imagine you're a developer? You've spent 4 years of your life. You did crunch time at the end. You spent every day on this game. It lasts 3 months and then it dies.
Yeah.
What does that feel like for you as a developer? That's got to be rough, right?
And the developers are the ones putting their blood, sweat, and tears in. And usually the hate is directed at them when it's actually, they're not usually the guys making the decisions that cause a game to fail. They're the ones who really care about the game. Yeah. But that is unfortunate. I hear what you're saying there, Coltrane.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know, like even James, like Destiny, isn't their seasonal model 3 months around? Like maybe even they have the metrics that they know this is the time and we need to flip the switch and get the next season out to
But that also perpetuates the give me more, because you're constantly chasing. So it's like it becomes what do they call it? Quantity instead of quality.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, James.
Okay. I mean, you look at it this way, it's like, is Mario gonna change? Mario's the same motherfucker that, you know, he's just chilling there. He's in his plumber shorts, he's hanging out, he's still killing Koopas. You know, he's the same, stuff doesn't change. There's no updates to Mario, you know? There's no updates to these other games. And the problem is that if we all had the ability, and I'm not speaking from experience, but if we all had the ability, is that something was happening every 3 months as far as, like, in regular life. Hey, in 3 months, the next best female is going to be out. The next best job is going to be out. The next best this is going to be out. You know that something's always going to be around the corner. And on top of that, they hit the nostalgia button. So as soon as you're like, Diablo 4, you're like, wait, what? Diablo 4 is coming out? They're like, yeah, but what about StarCraft 3? You're like, what? Did you just say StarCraft 3? They're like, yeah, but guess what? The next best thing is coming out. It's going to be World of Warcraft 2. You're like,
right. Right.
Sign me up.
I'm sorry, what?
Right.
They still have one out. Like, so it's just like, you know that the next best thing's coming out. So you're waiting for that next best thing because you're like, all right, I got 2 or 3 months playing. I know this next game's going to come out. There's going to be the sleeper game that comes out, and there's going to be this nostalgic game that comes out. Call of Duty turns out something every single year because they know that the next, you know, thing is going to happen in a year. So it's just this constant churning of, like you said, dopamine, and it's just hitting us like waves. And the reason why is because the older we get, the more available everything becomes, because we start growing up, we start getting money, and then we accumulate this meaningless pile of games that we've probably played 10% of it, but we have 90% of these games we haven't even touched that we want to play, but we just don't get to it because the next best thing came out, and it's just like, this one has crossplay. Like, all right, well, now I can play with my friends that aren't going to play with me after a week. So
right.
It's kind of depressing.
Yeah, and it, like, if anyone wants to look at anyone's okay, Steam library, you know, yeah, like the Steam library list is always, you know, crazy, you know.
Oh, I will say, a lot of pixels. Yeah,
yes, and as far as MMOs, I would say Elder Scrolls Online, very impressive. They actually really stick to, it's every 3 or 4 months or something like that, or maybe it's every 6, they release a new expansion, a major content patch, and they're right on. So yeah. Elder Scrolls Online actually does an excellent job of that, and they have continued. And for those that played it at the beginning like I did, it was, you know, awful. They've really done kind of like a No Man's Sky type thing with Elder Scrolls Online. ESO is in a much better place now than it was when it first launched way back in the day. So it's definitely worth checking out.
Well, we're kind of getting into it, so let's just get into it, right? We're talking about, you know, MMOs. We think, or at least I think, and me and Scott have talked a lot about this on the channel. We just did a video about Wayfinder, which is kind of this like MMO light. It, you know, it has MMO features, but it's not the full MMO, right? And, you know, we're talking about Diablo 4, you jump in, Remnant, you jump in. So I think some of these companies are starting to fix the problem of after 3 months it runs out, because they're just making it so much easier to pick up and put down. And you know, they're adding some features, even in Dragonflight, right? We're seeing more horizontal progression being introduced, so you're not having to chase the carrot on the stick all the time. And even games such as, I don't know, how do you say it, Coltrane? Paleo.
Yeah. I think it's Paleo.
Paleo diet. Yes. So I don't know. Coltrane, tell us about that. What made you pick that one up?
Like, about Paleo?
Yeah, I want to.
The most intense, heart pounding thrill ride of the year, Paleo.
Yeah.
Well, basically. What's going on there? All right, so here's the deal, right? Life's a little crazy, right? We all have crazy lives, right? It's just nuts out there. There's a lot of noise. We live in the divided states of America. It's no longer the United States of America. It's the divided states. It's just, I'm not getting political. Don't worry. Everything's good. I'm just saying it's just a lot of chaos, right? So maybe imagine a world where you just take your foot off the gas. Imagine a world that you just log in and the loading screen literally says, welcome home. It literally says welcome home. It doesn't say loading, please wait. It says loading, you're almost home. Oh my gosh, right? Like right out of the gate, just even the names. They're not cities, they're neighborhoods. These aren't NPCs or other players, they're your neighbors. And throughout the game, you're encouraged. People can put up a list of, I'm looking for 5 more pieces of copper. And you can post that for anyone, and then you can be like, oh, you need copper? Here you go. Here's some copper, neighbor. And they're like, thank you. And then you get a bonus, and they get their copper. In fact, there's a quest. You have to help 5 neighbors in the game. So what Paleo is this. I've heard a lot of names like, oh, it's like Animal Crossing. It's like this. Here's what it is. It's Fable, the MMO. All right? Hear me out. It's Fable. It is Fable. It's Fable with massively multiplayer. Well, it's really like 10 or 12. But anyway, it's Fable Lite in that you craft, you chop wood. It's like a survival type game, but it's like so welcoming. You build a house, you put some furniture down. The NPCs actually walk around the village or the town and they like go to sleep. And it's very immersive in that I found myself. This one NPC sells a greater axe that I needed. Well, he tells me in conversations that he hates being in the office. He prefers to stretch his legs and walk along the roads. So that's what he was doing. I had to go find him on the road, right? Because that's what he likes to do. So it feels kind of immersive. And it's a very different gameplay experience from like Remnant or Diablo 4. It is nowhere near like Diablo 4 Remnant, where it's about killing things and whatever. This is about relaxing and just kicking back. And I find it a total wind down at the end of the day. I literally played Paleo last night and then went to bed. Like, it was amazing. Like,
sounds kind of zen.
It's super zen. It's super zen. You're out there, you're doing the fishing, you're doing everything. And it's all about like encouragement and it's just, it's fantastic. So I will say in the MMO genre, you know, players like different things, right? And I'm a big fan. Like, I love Remnant. I used to love Diablo 4. This Wayfinder, I am so excited for Wayfinder. But I'll tell you, Palia, you know, I played Black Desert Online. Phenomenal game. Oh, great combat, yes. Right? Super immersive. But one of the things I really enjoyed doing was tending to my farm. Like, I got a lot of joy out of, like,
prune.
Yes, I need to prune. Yes, exactly. You know what I'm saying?
With my New Balance.
Yes, exactly. So it's interesting that each player is looking for different things, but also at different times. And in, when they're in a different mood, there's times when I just want to kill stuff and blow stuff up. It's amazing. There's other times after a long, hard day, I just want to relax and just be welcomed home. And, you know, go find that NPC in the middle of the road and be like, hey, there you are. Sell me this axe I've been trying to find so I can chop down these amazing trees. So it's
But
it's
isn't
really
it interesting?
Cool.
They're trying to, they're, it sounds like to me they're almost trying to solve the problem in a way. There's, correct me if I'm wrong, there's no real combat. I think you can hunt, right? But there's no traditional, you know, dungeons or you're not fighting other players, correct?
Correct.
And you can kind of do everything at your own pace, right? Yeah. You're not chasing the carrot on the stick to, you know, build your house at the pace you want. And it's fun. It's funny, Coltrane. So I was talking to my wife recently and soccer practice for kids started back up. So we're every night of the week, we're, you know, in three different places. Right. And we're trying to figure out, okay, what can we do together? You've already watched all your shows. I watch them as soon as they come out. So I don't wait for you. And we're like, what can we do? And I was like, hey, have you heard of this game called Palia? I was like, check this out. I was like, hey, you want some furniture for your house? I can go chop some wood for you.
Right. Like,
you know, you can play on the Switch while I'm playing on the PC, you know. Yeah, and
that's true.
This is Tom doing his innate mating dance, essentially.
Yes. This is how Tom does the mating dance.
You like how I chop this wood? There's a master plan here, yes.
He'll build your furniture with it.
You want some lumber?
And then your house will level up.
Right. But it is. It's a super chill experience. And, you know, you're building your house. It's going to take 8 hours. So I went to bed one night, and I got to admit, I woke up the next morning, and rather than having coffee with my wife, I wanted to see the house, you know? Yeah. She's like, where are you going? I'm like, oh, I had to check something on the computer, just work stuff, you know? Like, you know, it's, we're having coffee. I know, just real quick. And I was like, oh my gosh, there's my house, you know? And so it's a cool experience. It's a definite, you know, like I said, lay off the gas, something very, very different for somebody that's looking for that kind of, I guess, Animal Crossing kind of fable, because you can increase your reputation and all that stuff. There is hunting, there is combat, but it's nothing like Diablo or Remnant or anything like that. But it's been really enjoyable. It's been a nice different change of pace, you know?
Sure. Well, a theme I'm seeing in a lot of these games we're playing, like Remnant, you know, maybe not necessarily Diablo, but Palia, some of these other things, is that in a lot of these games, there's not a traditional, like, leveling from like 1 to 50 or something like that. I've kind of been a person for a while, and I may be on the outskirts on this or not in the majority, but I kind of think leveling in MMOs is a relic, like almost. I think it separates new players and veterans, and that's my, I don't know. And I think that just creates this huge chasm in MMOs when getting started, because I'll talk to Scott a lot. I'll be in an MMO and be like, hey, Scott, man, let's come do this. And he's like, yeah, but how much do I have to level? What is my time investment? What is my, I don't know. Do y'all feel the same way on that? Is that what is attracting you guys to some of these other games, or is that something you haven't thought of yet? I don't know. What do you think on that?
Who wants
James,
to go
what are you thinking?
Anyone.
Oh, yeah. So I think, like, when it comes to traditional MMOs, obviously something's wrong. And I like where the real traditional MMOs had it, and maybe build upon that. Like you jump, and someone's like, your jumping skill increased by 2. You're like, oh my gosh. And then, let's say, I want to fight. I don't want
to
punch.
MMOs talk to you like that?
Right?
Why wasn't I around for that?
They should all talk to you like that. So let's say there's one that's like, you jump and then, you know what? I want to get better at jumping. And all you do is just start jumping. And then all of a sudden, like, have you guys seen freaking jumping Governator over there? That guy's jumping skill is 1,002.
You know the calves on this guy.
Look at his calves. Those are dad calves.
His New Balance.
Okay. But then obviously everything else has kind of fallen to the wayside. But then like if you can, but you're building the game the way you want. And I kind of miss that about like, you know, EverQuest. It's like as soon as you swing once, it's like, all right, your sword slashing got better. You're like, oh crap, I need to level up my slashing today because I'm behind like 50 levels. I don't want it to be so detrimental to where you're like not enjoying the game, but I want them to go back to that. If you really want to hone a skill, you get to go back and hone that one skill and you can be like the best at that one skill. Like the sneaking, thieving, I know, you know, ESO and stuff like that and Skyrim. Mm-hmm. Like I want that type of feel to where the year was 1999.
He just got, in he's a got world. 10 fans for spamming three times.
Tom,
we gotta change that.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Wait, is he out? Is he gone? Yeah, so I think that's what traditional MMOs are missing now is kind of that mix between people always talk about what's the next best thing. And this happens to me at work a lot too, because I'm on that cusp of both generations, you know, being in between the millennial and all these other ones. And it's just like the thing that we're missing is that people think it either has to be new or it has to be old. And no one wants to build these things together anymore. And I think that's what we're missing is take the best of the old and take the best of the new and make something different. And that's what we're missing, I feel like. So that's what I'm hoping games go towards is taking the best of both worlds instead of just saying the old ways are gone, never do that again, and the new ways are better. Like there has to be this balance, and I see that needs to happen a lot more.
So are you guys like, are you craving an MMO that can do that, or are you kind of like, I've lost faith in MMOs. This is why I'm moving on to other. I'll just ask you, Scott. I
think they can coexist on their own, honestly. Yeah.
But I know you haven't been in an MMO in a while, right? For some of these reasons.
But I would play an MMO if I had the time. Like I think when I still think about an MMO, I'm thinking about the golden age from like, you know, 10 to 15 years, like no kids, just doing my thing, 20 years old. Like that was special. So I think, and that's when MMOs first emerged, and the leveling process, like you guys were saying now, it's hard to play a game where you have to level all the time. But like, I think about that as a kind of a rite of passage to being that class, to saying this is my identity in the game, and to just give everybody it easy. It takes kind of the magic out of it in a way. So to answer your question though, Tom, I think they could coexist on their own, but to appease the newer gaming generation and people like us who are in the older generation for gaming, like you're looking at innovation and old school, and it's hard to bring those two together. But I do think at some point a culmination, an eclectic approach to what's good about looter shooters, what's good about WoW, what's good about Diablo, what's good about a survival game, like eventually that will all coalesce into probably all around accessible fun game that everybody could have a part in.
I gotta tell you, I think, okay, so here's the deal, right? Here's the deal. This is so exciting. Okay, here's this. Here's the deal. All right, this is going to be a little controversial, all right? This is going to be a cold take. All right, this is a cold take. All right, this is a freezing brain freeze take. But here's the deal.
Lay it on.
I agree with you, Tom, that the leveling process 1 to 50 is kind of a relic, right? I've been searching. We're all searching for the next great MMO. And I think I found the way in Wayfinder. I think Wayfinder is the new generation of MMO. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to break it down real quick.
Hold on, though. Before you do, are you saying the new, like, this is the game, or this is the start of the new?
The style.
This is the new style, I think, of the way that all MMOs need to now become. Because we've talked about World of Warcraft, Final Fantasy 14. And now even maybe 8 Ashes of Creation, but we don't know just yet. These old school MMOs where you have hot bars full of like 20 abilities and these insane rotations, so much complexity in the rotations. And we talked about this on the other episode. Same with Final Fantasy 14. The thing about like Wayfinder, the thing about Terrace Land, the thing about New World, Lost Ark, new MMOs, you've only got like 4, 5, 6 abilities. That's it. So what happens when you only have 4 to 5 abilities? Well, you can keybind them, usually to your mouse or your keyboard. So what happens? Your eyes go away from the hotbars, from the bottom of your screen or whatever weak aura you've got, and they're going straight up at the screen, right?
Yeah.
So you're now an active participant in the boss fight. You're not buried in these abilities and these complex, crazy rotations, you know, that we've seen in World of Warcraft and Final Fantasy 14. I tried to pick up Warlock recently, and I looked at the rotation, I just gave up. I'm just not going to do it. Demonology, crazy. Affliction, crazy. You know, just this is ridiculous. Destruction, crazy. But you look at something like that where your eyes are forward. So then you say, well, it needs to be complex. Otherwise, gamers are going to get bored. Well, you focus the complexity on the boss fights, on the regular NPCs, even the trash mobs just running around in the world. You make them interesting. You make them whatever. You have dodge mechanics. You got to roll this way. You got to roll that way. Mm-hmm. You make these boss fights. The floor goes out from under you. But what's cool is the player is engaged in the fight. They're not staring at their abilities. Everything's keybound. The thing that I like about Wayfinder, and why I think it's this new evolution, is it's drop-in, drop-out gameplay, right? That we've been talking about from Remnant 2, you know, from Diablo 4. You can get in, you can run these dungeons, you can get your loot, and you can get out. Go solo, go with your buddies. Also, the dungeons are procedurally generated. So it's not the same dungeon every time. Yeah. It's got little hints of it, but there's still a little extra spice every time you get in, right? So I think it plays smaller abilities, eyes up on the screen, crazy cool boss fights. You still have kind of that open world concept. Right now, there's only just 2 major zones, but you can see other players fighting in those kind of zones. You can join in. But I really think that this is the new way, the new MMOs, less abilities, eyes up, more complex things, drop in, drop out gameplay. You know, in World of Warcraft, especially, James, you were saying earlier about World of Warcraft Classic, it takes 30, 40 minutes to get you to your destination. Then it takes another 20, 30 minutes to get a group. And then it's going to take another 2 hours to get through
Final
that dungeon.
Fantasy 11.
Yes, Final Fantasy 11. Yeah, great example. Yeah. Great example. Mm. So I think that Wayfinder, which I am super excited for, super jazzed for, and love your guys' video about it. Incredible. Thank you. Make sure you guys check that out. I am so excited. This, to me, is that next-gen MMO. This is where I think, in my opinion, MMOs need to go now. Moving forward for the next generation, because I think that this will solve the dopamine rush problem, right? I think it's going to solve, and this procedurally generated stuff too, I think that's going to help keep it fresh. So I don't know. So I'm a big fan of Wayfinder, really looking forward to that. Now,
whatever's
crazy?
Happening, the paradigm shift is happening. You can see it. You can just see it occurring right before our eyes. So
yeah. You brought up a lot of things I want to pull out of that, but kind of before we do that, is Ashes of Creation the last hope for MMOs? Like, if Ashes of Creation fails, are traditional MMOs dead? I mean,
oh, with that old school mindset?
Yeah. Is this the final one that they just did the cleric reveal the other day, and he still had a lot of abilities on his bar? You know what
look
I mean?
Look cool, though. It looked cool.
Okay.
But you're right,
saying no in the comments. Maybe he's got another savior. Is he, you looking towards the, yeah, Ashes is going to be a PvP game, so it could be niche.
Dude, I don't even think it matters if Ashes fails, because as long as WoW is around as like the reigning king and fail safe for that, everybody goes back to eventually. Like, I don't think MMOs are in trouble. The only time that traditional MMOs are going to be a problem is when the new one finally takes off, and then that's probably when a time when WoW will finally close its doors. So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, well, Brutal's bringing up Riot's MMO, which is a good shout. I'm not convinced Riot isn't going to go in this more, I don't know if it's going to be hop in, hop out style, or if it's going to be as easy as Wayfinder to jump in, jump out, but that's probably the biggest one that will appeal to a mass crowd. He's right about that. Yeah.
But maybe we're assuming they haven't released anything on that yet.
That's correct. Maybe it's just because I'm a PvPer, so in my heart, I'm like, man, I hope Ashes is really good, because I love that open world PvP that we don't seem to have anymore.
Yeah.
So, but going back to Wayfinder, I think it combines a lot of the things that you're saying. So James brought up, in a way, kind of like skilling. So that is, in a way, is your leveling. You're not leveling up, you know, 1 to 50 kind of a thing. So it's kind of taking care of that problem. It's giving you the horizontal progression of building your character, so that RPG element. And this isn't like an original thought of mine. So, I mean, I've heard a lot of people speak on this, but, you know, when we want to, you know, chat, or if we want to jump in and we want to see what's going on with each other, where do we go? We go to Discord, right? Mm. Like, we don't have to log into WoW anymore to, you know, find each other, to catch up, you know, and see what's going on with everyone. And so, in a way, you're right. These new games, that's kind of the nostalgic thing we always bring up. Oh, the community is not there. We don't get that community vibe. But I think that's kind of gone, right? Because the community has moved to other places now. And so it's almost like you don't need that in those games anymore, which maybe we'll get into what I'm playing, which is going to blow everyone's mind. But I think Wayfinder is kind of doing a good job at all of those things. And I don't know. I like you, Coltrane. I think it could be kind of big. I'm interested in jumping in on the 15th just to see what it looks like, even if it's not the final form, if it's just something that will kind of breathe some fresh air into the MMO space, kind of a thing.
I don't know. Sorry about my big long rant there about, like, I'm just really excited about it. You know,
I don't think it was a cold take at all.
Right, exactly. This is like slurpy brain freeze cold take here. But no, I'm just, it's interesting. And what James was saying too, also, is that nostalgia of jumping skill going up. Like, I remember loving that stuff, you know, and EverQuest too. But if you think
OSRS,
about it,
even today, people are skilling all over the, you know what I mean? That's
true.
The whole game.
Yeah. But that is a grind. That is also a grind. Yeah. And if you've got limited play time, I guess there is that sense of accomplishment of, like, you know, my calves got huge, you know, my jumping skill went from zero, to 30, you know what I mean, in one night. That's pretty awesome. So, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see. But Tom, what are you playing? What's going on? We got Remnant covered. We got Diablo. We got Palia. What are you doing, man?
Can I even talk about this?
That's true.
So I am playing on a private server. A private server. You okay? So I don't want to shout it too loud. I want to be a little quiet here.
Yes, yes.
And a funny story. A game back in the day, back in 2014, I actually played this game with a member of the cast. Me and Coltrane were in, unbeknownst to us. Well, I knew, but I knew who Coltrane was from CTR, but I didn't tell him that because I don't want to look like a stalker.
We were in
a guild together playing Arcage. Arcage, one of my all-time favorite, actually,
amazing game.
The all-time favorite MMO experience that I've ever had.
Yeah.
So anyway, there is a private server going on that I launched today, actually, of all the days, and I tried to jump into Arcage. And, of course, servers were down most of the day. But isn't it me just trying to recapture that old glory of, like, the MMOs, one more final ride kind of a thing? And so, I don't know. It is a PvP game, an old-school game where it is absolutely essential that you're in a guild and that you're working together to accomplish anything in this game. And so, yes, I am trying it out. And maybe it's because I look around the landscape and I don't see anything that's appealing to me, you know, kind of a deal. Like, I will jump into WoW for a little bit and then I'll get discouraged by, what are embellishments again? And I'm, like, trying to figure out.
Yes.
We touched on the complexity. Like, what all do I need to get my guy viable for solo shuffle? I have, you know what I mean? And I'm trying to figure out all these things. And then other games, I'll jump into other MMOs, but eventually it's like, man, I've played this solo for like 2 months, and then it just kind of loses its, like, without the friends around, kind of the interest, which might be why we're looking for something new, because we want everyone to jump in, right? Kind of thing. Are y'all feeling that with the MMOs? I know, Coltrane, you're still raiding in WoW, but it's kind of a one-night-a-week thing, but you're kind of there for the people, right? You're jumping in to see the guys kind of a thing.
Yeah, it's an amazing team. In fact, the name of the team is the hat that James is wearing. It's called the Catalina Wine Mixer. So it's like, I thought he was a member. I'm like, James, are you on the team? Like,
that
must be where the hat is from, right? I mean, clearly it's from the Raid team. Not any other reference possibly could be out there for Catalina Wine Mixer. Not at all. But yeah, it's a great group of people that, you know, I enjoy, even though for some people, they raid log, you know, meaning they just log in that one night a week, you know, to raid. But it's the people that it's just great people that are just fun to raid with. And it's great to kill bosses together and that sense of accomplishment. But now that we've gotten AOTC, we've killed the final boss on Heroic. That was the goal for this team. And in Blizzard, you need 20 people for Mythic. We don't have 20. We've got like 17, you know, 15 to 17. We're trying to recruit, but we don't have 20. So that's not something we're going to do. So it's kind of like this, like, bring alt night. And it's kind of like in this weird kind of dance. But it's, I just will say real quick with Arcage, that was probably one of the most immersive MMOs. I felt like I was a part of the world back then playing that game. I loved Arcage back then. And so it's awesome to hear you getting back into it. And it is old school. I'm trying to remember because it was more PvP. There wasn't like a real rotation, was there? It was more kind of action-based. Like the combat isn't really rotation, right?
I mean, they had the combo system. So it was tab target with kind of like you could combo different abilities. So
yeah,
more situational. And let's be honest, back in the day, it kind of turned pay to win. So there was it was like a stats, you know, game at that point. So, but you're right. The world of Arcage is amazing. It's almost like Palia, but with combat, right? Like the farming, the life skilling is all really cool. So I don't know. I'm going to give it a ride. I'm sure I'll play it for a month or two and see how it goes. And until something, and you know, I'm going to jump in Wayfinder. So I am excited about that as well. But Wayfinder is kind of like almost a looter shooter in a way with abilities. So it's kind of a unique twist that they're going down or that the MMO space could go down. But Scott, I know you've had another take of an evolution that you might want to see with the merging of like two kind of genres. What are you kind of looking forward to for the MMO space to kind of move towards?
I think survival is going to come up strong into the main arena of where gaming goes. And combining survival, if you want survival light, something like Valheim is always a good example. Yes. It's simple enough, but it still feels like if it doesn't, maybe complex is, maybe it's too strong a word. It's just complicated enough to be enjoyable, I feel like, and not get in the way of enjoying the game. So I'm predicting that the survival genre would be a phenomenal element to put into an MMO.
Interesting.
Well, there is one on the horizon that has just piqued my interest. Yes, have you guys seen anything with Dune Awakening by any chance?
No.
James, are you a Dune fan? Have you read the books? Have you seen the movies?
I've seen the movie.
Okay.
I've seen the original movie, obviously.
Got it.
And then the new one. But yeah, I love Dune.
Well,
what they're trying to do is kind of what Scott is saying, kind of marry the survival elements with an MMO. Obviously, the water conservation aspect of Dune, you know, bringing that in, and then also surviving the world. So needing to craft structures for sandstorms or to, you know, escape sandworms. So it seems like it might be kind of PvP focused. I don't know 100%. They've only done really like one interview that you can really find online. But they're going to have, of course, you know, different guilds or factions kind of fighting over the spice resource, right? And the spice will help directly go into your, allow you to progress your character and learn certain abilities. And so, man, I gotta say, I'm really excited to see what happens with this. I don't know how far along they are. I want to say, is it Funcom?
Yeah,
I don't know. Funcom. It's a company that has a reputation.
Yes. And Anarchy Online. Yeah.
A reputation with MMOs, right? So they might be able to pull it off. So I don't know. Does that sound interesting to you guys?
A long time.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
What do you guys think about that one, if you've had a chance to look into it?
Scott, come on, buddy. I know you're just busting at the seams here about Dune.
Dude, I that came out of nowhere when he sent it. And yeah, I was not expecting that. But I mean, they're very, very early views, right?
Sure.
This is what they're saying, but we'll see. So, but I mean, so far, so good, right? Like I think combining those two, that's exactly what I want.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Scott's always trying to get me to play survival, and I'm trying to get him to play MMOs. I'm like, okay, this is the one.
This could be it.
This could be it.
Yeah. Sorry, what were you going to say, Coltrane?
What I find fascinating about this. Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly. What I find fascinating about this, and this is so great, because this could be so earlier I was talking about Wayfinder, that the drop in, drop out MMO light. Maybe this is the new evolution of MMO. But this, there's something really special. Maybe this is the new evolution of the MMO. The thing that they're doing with this is you've got the survival stuff, right? Which makes it very immersive. You got to gather the resources. If you start gathering resources and you're making too much noise, sandworms, right? No one wants a sandworm showing up.
Teamwork makes the dream work. You know, that's part of the fun.
Absolutely. But the thing about it that blew my mind is when they talked about the combat, the way they're doing the combat in this is more like Battlefield. It's more like, it's not like a traditional tab target MMO or like
planet side almost.
Yes, exactly. It's planet side. So they're talking about thousands of players all on one map, exactly like Planet Side or Planet Side 2. And by the way, if you have not played Planet Side 2, hop in there. That is incredible. Going. Yeah, it's phenomenal. Like right now, go play it. It's free to play. It's a phenomenal combat. Talk about a Warzone experience. It's unbelievable.
Mm.
That type of experience, and that's exactly what they're referencing in an MMO, is insane. Thousands of players fighting over a resource, another guild comes over the hill with their tanks and everything, and they're shooting and all that stuff. And then in the middle of the battle, a sandworm comes up and starts swallowing everybody. That's unbelievable. That's like that PvPvE or whatever it's called. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, I mean, this could be the one. This could be the new. But like, I agree, Scott. We're at this precipice. We're at this turning point now. You know what I mean? And it'll be interesting to see where it lands, where it goes. But this Dune one, just like Wayfinder, for completely different reasons, had me completely jacked up for this game. That survival, but also I found it so fascinating, the combat. It's like Battlefield. It's like Planet Side 2. Yeah. That sounds insane.
Yeah, and I think Unreal 5 is going to play a big role in where things go next. But James, you mentioned you worked on Planet Side. What did you do on Planet Side?
I was part of the QA team on Planet Side 2.
Okay.
Nice. I was right before they laid off half the company. I was going to become an artist there. And then I think it was a week before they had a company party. And they're like, hey, you're going to start being an artist for, you know, doing all the assets and everything. They laid off half the company. And that was part of the layoffs.
Is this before they went to Daybreak? Were they still Sony?
It was still Sony Online Entertainment. We were QAing EverQuest 2 at the time. They were working on EverQuest Next, where it was like a complete black box. I was going to work on Planet Side, or I was going to work on like EverQuest Next type stuff. And I was really excited. And then they just laid off half the company. The company pretty much went under. And it's just like, yeah, it was – but – Playing Planet Side, I was in charge of the night QA team. And so we were working like 14-hour shifts, 7 days a week towards the end. And it was ridiculous. And all we had to do is like just look for bugs, you know, report everything. And it was some pretty crazy times. It was really unhealthy.
but you were young, right? So, you know, it was fine.
No, I wasn't. It was like 2013, like 2012.
Right. Sure.
So, you know, this is like, you know, 11, 12 years ago. But I'm actually in the credits as part of the team there. But it was enjoyable. But Planet Side, when we were working on it, they had to bring in this guy, I think from Counter-Strike, to make the guns feel good, because the guns never felt appropriate in the game. I don't know if they had to deal with lag or what, but it wasn't that like Call of Duty feel, like when you shoot someone, you can feel like I shot that thing. There's something missing on it. But I mean, the opening video that they made was like incredible. I still remember the video to this day was just so incredible and makes you want to just jump in and get in this immersive experience. And so, yeah, working on PlanetSide 2 is a lot of fun. It's definitely an experience. And it's just another example of the game was like so close to being that next best thing. And
yeah,
I don't know what the recipe is to make that, but it definitely deals with community and other players and just random, I feel like, because oh crap, they're taking over this base somewhere where I don't even know you care about, but now I care about it. Let's all go over there and let's try to get these people together. Like there has to be that random element, I feel like, to it.
Right. And there was a camaraderie too. Like you would with complete strangers, you'd take a control point or a base back and you'd all be like, yeah, great job, you know, and see these names and you'd be healing them or defending them. And it was like, yeah, like you're totally right. It was great.
Yeah.
But you're right. I don't know what the secret sauce was, because I would jump in a lot of times and I would never stick for whatever reason. I'm not 100% sure. What's your take, James, on like shooter combat in MMOs? What did you think of the overall combat of PlanetSide? Because like in the Dune game, for example, like Coltrane mentioned, they're going to have obviously the vehicle combat, right? You have the ornithopters, you have tanks, all these kind of things. Then they talked about having this interplay between ranged weapons. But if you're wearing the shield that you have in Dune, then the ranged weapons don't affect. But then if you can get in melee range, then melee can counter the shields. So I don't know. Is PlanetSide up there as one of your favorite kind of combat styles? Do you think that can work in an MMO?
I think they were on the precipice of something great. It's just no one has mastered it, because what PlanetSide 2 is what a lot of people want. They want that PvP feel. They want that randomness. They want that, oh my gosh, I'm on top of a cliff that no one, the only way I can get up here is a ship that I had to buy. I parachuted out of the ship. I use my jetpack to get there, and now I have this assault rifle that's long range, and nobody can get me. I'm just picking people off. Like, they want that type of combat to where it's like, I'm not supposed to be here, and this is, like, real world. Like, I earned my right in this position up here, and it's not easy to get up here, and I'm here now. And so, like, now once you get there and you start sniping, you're like, dude, I better start sniping people one hit, because, like, you want to feel that, you know, that reward of I got to my perfect perch. And this is where I'm at. And one more thing I want to add that they didn't implement in the game, which is this is like, if this can be in every single game going forward, is they had a filter for chat. And this filter for chat was anytime someone said a bad word, they conjugated the word to be another word and something hilarious. So it's like you call someone like the F word, it's like this hamburger, and this is like, so it's just, but it recognized bad words.
Everyone knew. Yeah.
Correct. But it's like, I thought that was so cool. It's like, I feel like all games should have, instead of blood, they should have like, you know, confetti, or like instead of these board, like for a kid filter, it's like, hey, I want to go play Call of Duty, but I don't want to see all the blood and guts from our kids. And it's just like, they start cussing all these other cool, funny fruit words and, you know, like confetti. I just thought that was really cool. So, but yeah, the combat, I think it was just getting to that spot where you earn that spot and then having someone like, recognize like, dude, that guy sniped me from way up there. Sniping this game is almost impossible, and this guy just picked me off. Like, that's awesome.
I don't know, Dune, I am super excited. I'm gonna keep my eye on it. I think we're gonna probably put out some coverage on it on this YouTube channel soon, because we're both so pumped about it. But I don't
we finally
know,
get to play another game together.
Maybe.
We'll see. This could be it.
I know. It's only been like 5 years.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. That's
Bring
true.
You two together. It'll be perfect. That's right.
I don't know, but after all this, are we still playing an MMO anymore? Has it just changed totally? Is it no gear grind, no community, horizontal progression? Jump in, jump out. Is it? Have we just morphed into a whole different category, kind of a thing?
Right. Yeah. Like, what makes an MMO? Like, what is an MMO?
We want to play. Or
I
an
should
MMO
say MMO RPG. I guess. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
No, I came out with this video. It was talking about Guild Wars 2, which I think Guild Wars 2 actually does a really good job at a lot of these things we're talking about with its horizontal progression and. their level cap being capped, so you never have to go up in levels again. Your gear is good forever. Like, I've taken off a year before and come back and done ranked PvP the same day, right?
Amazing.
So it does a lot of good things, but I feel like Guild Wars 2 had kind of a rocky first impression, and so it doesn't have the following I feel like probably it deserves in a way. And so I put out a video that was talking about what are some things Guild Wars 2 could do to bring in more traditional MMO players, right? And so I was like, well, maybe they should think about vertical gear progression, or maybe they should think about doing this. And then the players were like, well, then we're just playing World of Warcraft at this point. And I was like, yeah, you know, maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a good point. So I don't know. And then maybe WoW 2 is the only solution. To any of this. James, are you on board with a WoW 2, or you're like, just leave it how it is? It's good enough.
I mean, they're gonna pull it. Everyone's gonna buy it. Everyone here is gonna buy it, no matter what. As soon as you hear WoW 2, you're gonna be like, "Yep, I take my money, please." I bought it last year, and it was $250, and I bought it the first day it was available. And you know what? I upgraded to the $350 version because it's WoW 2. So I think everyone would still go after that, because WoW has still created something that not only are people still playing it to this day, people are playing it on private servers while the live game's going. They've made Classic at the same time. And it's like people are still playing this game in pursuit of something that they're never going to attain again. It's diminishing marginal utility. It's like when you first get that first bite of pizza, you're like, this was amazing.
Right.
And then you take that second bite, you're like, that was pretty good. And then you finish that slice, and you finish the whole pizza, and you're like, you know what? I need to buy a pizza again to have that first experience again.
So it's just going to
completely... Exactly. You're
just describing addiction.
That's what it is. You're never going to get to that first level of just...
James, do we need to have a talk?
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's the problem with games, is you get to that point of, I'm never going to have this high in this game again. And we all experience it. And there's just one point in the game where you just get to it and you're like, this was the coolest moment I've had in the last 5 years. And mine was surprisingly on Valheim. We're all playing, you know, like what? I think we're four players and we're doing stuff that we're not supposed to do. There's a couple mods going on. We get a harpoon. We're all in this boat. And one of the people in our group, and we're all on voice chat, and we're going on and you know, the sea is crazy in Valheim, where you're just going up and down. And so we're all making the sound effects. It's like, whoa! And we're all doing that on the sea. And then one of the guys has a harpoon, harpoons a troll from the land. He gets on the boat, destroys the boat. We're all just like laughing. And I was just like, after I was done, I'm like, oh my gosh, this was the funnest I've had on a game for like the last 10 years. And like that moment, I'll never get it back. And we could all play Valheim again, but it's just not going to be the same. Yeah. That moment's passed. But it's just like, and that's the problem with anything, is that you get that moment, and if you try to recreate it, you're ruining the memory. Like, think of games you play when you're younger and play them again now. You're like, this game sucks.
Yep.
Like, a lot of that happens because you remember it differently. Movies, like you watch Godzilla or something, like, dude, these graphics are horrendous. Yeah. But as a kid, it's like, it's the most amazing.
Remember how good we thought GoldenEye was? And if you look at it now, I'm like, that's a face.
still good.
But I remember in HD. Like, it's an HD.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like, oh, look at the detail on this gun. And I look back, it's like, this is a gold blob.
Yeah.
This is it's funny. It's those
I was like that with the Age of Conan. When that first came out, I was like, these are the greatest graphics I've ever seen in my life. This is like real life, the game. Like, and then I look at it now and I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, look at these pixels and everything.
So moral of the story, James is just telling me, uninstall Arc Age. It's never going to be.
James is now like...
Right.
He's James brought the boomer
just
stuff
fully
here.
Implicitly described both addiction and a midlife crisis without just saying, this is what I'm struggling with.
just come over to Paleo, all right? My neighbor in Paleo.
Welcome home.
Right?
Yeah. Meet us on August 15th for Wayfinder. I think that's the moral of the story, guys. Download Wayfinder and
there it is.
Get ready for early access. So I don't know, man. Good stuff. Good stuff, guys. I don't know where MMOs are going, but I've talked to Scott about this. I think we're on the brink of a new MMO era, almost like a golden age, a resurgence kind of a thing with Unreal Engine 5. So,
yeah, it's not all life hope cycle,
is,
man.
Not
it's
all like hope we, is lost, we, guys.
We're now reaching the point of rebirth. Yep. And I think what you're seeing with all this, these issues that we talked about tonight, it's like we're reaching a point where it's about to finally crumble and start rebuilding.
Yeah. And so, I'm going to be curious how Riot MMO is doing it, because they are doing a ton of research on what players want and what they want to do. They had Greg Street a part of the team, you know, from Blizzard for so long.
They did. Yeah.
I'm really curious, and they haven't announced anything yet, how this Riot MMO is going to be set up. I think that's going to be a real telltale sign, because there's going to be so much focus group research and all that. So I think that'll be kind of a hint too. I'm curious what that MMO is going to be.
Isn't the juxtaposition so crazy between the Riot MMO and the Ashes MMO, which is doing an open development and you see everything.
Yeah.
And even at times me and Scott have been like, I can't even follow this anymore. I know that the game is never going to come out. We've seen a lot. Yeah. So almost in a way, the Riot MMO has kept that mystery of what is going to happen here. Whereas actually we keep seeing a lot, but they're also opening themselves up to criticism because of that. Cause they're showing everything in a way, but I'm still those two on my radar, and ArenaNet has postings, as we talked about before, for some Unreal Engine 5 project.
Oof.
You know, we don't know if it's Guild Wars 3, but
Guild Wars 3.
Yes, please, please take
Guild Wars 2 and update it in Unreal Engine 5. Go back to the Trinity, right? Because that's what they're kind of doing. Guild Wars 2 didn't have the Trinity, and it feels like they've kind of leaned into it. Just embrace the Trinity. It's what players want. And then you're gold. It'd be amazing.
I think so. I think you need that casual MMO to pair with your no-life MMO. I don't know. At least that's my experience with Guild Wars 2 has been. So when I played Star Wars Old Republic, that was the vertical progression. Then I would take off a year and go back to Guild Wars. And you can do that with Final Fantasy and Guild Wars or WoW and Guild Wars. So I don't know. Man, Guild Wars 3 is high on my wish list. I don't know.
Would you jump in there, Scott? Could that unite the two of you as well? Dune and Guild Wars 3?
In the same way Scott hates my tree in the background, I think he hates Guild Wars 2 for the same reason, and maybe anything Guild Wars. So I don't know if he's ever going to jump into a Guild Wars
game. It would never happen.
No, I don't think so.
I would play it. I mean, the Unreal 5 is going to look so magnificent.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, why would you not want to experience whatever masterpiece they put out with it if they look that good? Like,
right, we're all just waiting. Totally. Like, I can't wait for next year E3. Like, are we going to start seeing them? I mean, we've been seeing it with Ashes, which has been amazing, but are we going to start really seeing all the Unreal Engine 5 stuff now? You know, like, oh my gosh.
I hope. Well, I'll let you guys get out of here. I'll let James go get some grapes. James, why don't you let everybody know where they can find your stuff, and maybe what are your plans coming up for the channel? I know you touched on it a little bit, but where can they find you, and what are you kind of hoping to get going again?
So I've been sidelined on my career, not really sidelined. I'm sidelined myself. Pretty much I do voice acting on the side of my normal career. I'm doing the slow, long game because I have time. And you can find me on anything with Governator, spelled with the old English way with a U in there somewhere. I'll spell it out here on there.
Awesome. And we'll put everything in the description too for the people.
Yeah. And it's at that. You can do hashtag. I have like, I think over 400,000 tags with that tag now. Anything Governator, email, everything is that, and that's like the brand. I got the brand right. I just don't know how to get the following now. So, but no, that's it. You can find me everywhere on that.
Nice, man. Are you gonna keep focusing on the VO stuff, or do you want to do some gaming stuff as well?
I think they go hand in hand. Doing the VO stuff is fun, and it's like the more and more I get stressed out from my normal job, the more and more I like just want to be like, you know what? I'm going to just have a day where I just do a bunch of gigs, or I do some silly stuff with my voice. And, you know,
that's awesome.
And that's usually where it comes from, is that that pain I feel inside.
Right. Yes.
Well, everyone definitely go check out James's channel. Give him a sub. And at Governator VA, I believe, on YouTube is the one. Coltrane, man, what's up with you? What do you got going on? I know we talked a little bit about the podcast last time. How's that going?
It's going great, man. I'm looking, 2023 is the year of yes. It's yes. I'm saying yes to everything, right? Let's just embrace life. Let's try new things. Let's see what happens, right? I'm trying to get healthy. I'm trying different things. I got some lights behind me now. I'm saying yes to lights, nice. Right? It's unbelievable. So I don't really have anything.
You got Mace Windu hiding behind that couch?
Mace Windu's back there, right?
That is a tasty cheeseburger.
Yes, exactly. So, no, I'm just trying to, you know, I don't have anything set. I'm just trying to like get back into all of this. You know what I mean? I love talking about games. I love podcasting. Mm-hmm. I love getting on. I love chatting with you guys. It's been absolutely incredible. So it just feels great, man. It just feels great to be alive. I'm just trying to try some new things and try and mix things up a bit. And it's been great. I highly recommend it. Just say yes. Just say yes. No matter what it is, just say yes. You know, why not? Why not? Right?
Let's get crazy. That's what my kids tell me all the time. Just say yes.
Dad. Right, right. Just stop saying no.
Dad, you want to do yes day?
Exactly. Yeah. So I know it sounds very hippie, but it's good. Cool. Things are doing really well.
We've enjoyed it because you've said yes to being on the podcast twice now. So we totally appreciate it.
Well, and I'm doing like a wrestling podcast. I've never watched wrestling. It's called Wrestling is for Losers. It's been super fun with Shoe Boots, who I worked on Azeroth Public Radio with. And that's been a ton of fun. So it's been great, man. It's been really enjoyable. And likewise, thank you so much for having me on. It's been a blast. Yeah, James, so great meeting you too, man. So great.
Yeah, you too, Coltrane. Yeah, Coltrane, awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Scott, was that your final words? Anything else? Oh, man. Guys, thanks everyone for joining us. This has been a lot of fun. James, Coltrane, thank you guys. Everybody go check out their stuff. I'll leave it in the description. And I don't know. We might be trying to make this thing a weekly deal. So me and Scott are figuring that out. And
awesome.
Hopefully we'll be back and we'll have some more MMO talk, gaming talk. So we just enjoy it. We bring the stuff we talk about in Discord and just move it over here, you know, and it's a lot of fun. Excellent. So anyway, guys, thanks. And man, we'll see you guys in the next one.